Welcome back to Falcon Cast. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ. Can I have my phone back?
John Michaels' phone.
Yeah. I was doing this. I actually was talking to a guy on Twitter yesterday. In shock, I can't see the name. So, his name is Rise Up Ryan KC, and he sent me this yesterday. He actually tweeted at the Atlanta Falcons and Vic Beasley and Devontae Freeman. And I don't know if we can see this really well, but he got an awesome tattoo. This is how we'll start the show. Bosek, I don't know if you can zoom in on this very well. Probably not doing a lot for the people that are listening on podcast. Yeah, there you go. Shock's gonna make it easy. Old school zoom. Check that out. Tell me that's not a really awesome tattoo. It's got the old school Falcon helmet on there.
It's nice.
So I told him I'd give him a shout out because he listens to the Falcon Cast every week, and he's one of those guys I think that takes us with him. He subscribed to Falcon Cast on iTunes. All you have to do is search Falcon Cast, hit the subscribe button to get each week's episode on the go. But I told him I'd give him a shout out for the tattoo because all three of us are big tattoo guys.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to say, hey, that's an awesome tattoo.
Who has more?
You do. How many do you have, Shock?
I might be in like the 20s, maybe.
Really? I'm pretty close.
Yeah.
I got a lot of random nonsense.
See, you know what? I got some little ones here and there. You guys got like some monsters.
I've got
some big
five
ones.
Pretty big ones.
Yeah, but see, the difference is Jay's tattoos for five is like $10,000.
Yeah, they big boys.
My 26 are
big,
like
big boys,
$700 maybe total.
Yeah, you got some big monsters.
Either way, we appreciate the tattoo and we appreciate you guys watching Falcon Cast. We'll dive right into it. It is another down day here at Flowery Branch as the Falcons lose over the weekend to the Minnesota Vikings in a game that, I don't want to say it was like a malaise from having a turkey hangover, but that's how the game felt to me the entire time.
Yes. Yes, it was. It was a malaise. It was fatiguing. It was kind of more of the same.
And, it was, not to cut you off. It was
cut me off because you're a quarterback. You actually know what the heck's going on.
When you said, you think about the Malay, just it made me feel like we were waiting for more to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the Falcons had 3 points, you were like, okay, here comes a touchdown, here comes a big drive, here comes a couple big plays, and it never really rolled and got it going. And like you guys mentioned, it was one of those games that like nothing really was really going our way. It never really ended up the way we wanted to either.
And it ends up in a 20-10 defeat to the Minnesota Vikings, crushing in the fact that you lose to a team that you potentially could be fighting for a wild card with. Seattle wins a game, so you actually, if the playoffs started today, which thank goodness they don't, you wouldn't be in the playoffs as Seattle's now past you. And now some of the ridiculous stuff that I'm hearing on radio and on television and online about what should happen right now, Jay, and I know you get it worse than I do. Your phone is like – your hotline blings for sure during the game.
Phone's always ringing.
And I know you love that song,
by the
way. And
that can only mean one thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
And that's when the hotline bling, it means that there's just ridiculousness on the other end
of it.
That was classic.
And that's what it is. It's ridiculous. I've heard people say this week, bench Matt Ryan, you should start Sean Renfrey. Come on.
Love Sean. He's a great guy.
I got this guy tweeted me yesterday, and this is why he's not a general manager of an NFL team. He said, what Kyle Shanahan needs is a mobile quarterback. We should trade Matt Ryan to the Cleveland Browns for Joe Thomas and Johnny Manziel. Because that's worked out so wonderfully.
Can we also acknowledge that we're also like well past the trade deadline?
Yeah.
Well, there's that. I mean, there's part of that. I've also heard people say you should trade him now and draft a number one quarterback and roll with him. Which, by the way, you'd pick 18th if the draft were to happen today. Granted, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and there have been players that have picked. Typically, your top three or four quarterbacks are long gone by 18, so I think that strategy's out the window. Here's my point. Matt Ryan's your quarterback. He hasn't played great. I think we all know that. He hasn't played it. This is probably the worst season he's had as a starter for the Atlanta Falcons. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, he'll be here next year. He'll probably be here in 2017, maybe into 2018. Deal with it.
Yeah. I'm fine telling you that. I have no problem telling you that.
That he's here and deal with it?
You apologize. You said, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I'm trying to be nice.
I'm sorry to say. He's going to be here, and he's going to do great.
And I
like that.
The part about getting rid of Matt is just it makes no sense right now. You talk about Sean is good. Yeah, we like Sean, but Matt Ryan is your franchise guy. He's the reason why you paid all the money to. Yes, he hasn't played his best football. We can all admit that. We know that. That's not blind. We're not going to push that under the rug. But Matt Ryan is your best option, and Matt Ryan can get it done. It's a couple small things here and there. There are 2, 3, 4 plays in a game that really make it what it is. And Matt will tell you, rolling to his left, throwing back to his right, that's something he doesn't do. It's him trying to force plays. It's him trying to make some plays. They got 3 points on the scoreboard. This is an offense that's used to scoring 20, 25, 30 points a game. And when you're not doing it, a couple times you force issues. A couple times you want to make some plays that are not there. And as a veteran, he knows he has to be better if this team is going to be better, and I think he will.
But that's just the kind of competitor that Matt is, and I think that's what people are losing sight of. Okay, yeah, he, you know, on in that one situation, Tevin gets into the end zone, scores the touchdown, gets called back, right?
Yeah.
So on third down, you're trying to force something.
Yeah.
Forces a ball that he would like to have back,
right.
Sure. But he's trying to make something happen.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is Matt is out there. He's a competitor. He's trying to make it happen, trying to make up for a lost opportunity, ends up throwing an errant pass. I would rather have that than somebody who's just going to chuck it away because he can't see anything.
I think it was last year. I just believe you just cannot be right at the position. I think last year there were times where people were really mad at Matt because he was doing a lot of dink and dunking. He was doing a lot of checkdowns. He was doing a lot of this, but he was taking care of the football, and people mm-hmm. were mad because we weren't throwing it down the field. He's not being aggressive enough.
Yeah.
And now he's being aggressive, and of course he's going to make some bonehead, you know, mistakes here and there, but he's going to make some plays too.
The reality is, though, I mean, in the minds of some fans, Matt Ryan can never do anything right.
Right, right.
And that's just the reality here in Atlanta, and it's sad.
Yeah, the other thing that's come to light this week, and shock, I know we talked about it on the postgame show on the Falcons Radio Network, not saying there's a rift between Shanahan and Ryan, because there's not. There's been no reports of that. But there's some things that we watch from the field, Jay, and shock you up in the booth. When you see certain plays called, I scratch my head. Matt Ryan's strong suit is not rolling to his left and throwing, you know, on a rollout scenario. Yet I saw that play called at least 3 times this week. The one that's an interception was a scramble situation. It wasn't a called play.
Yeah.
But I've seen where they boot right, roll back left, make Matt throw across his body. He had a throw to Julio that was incomplete, where he kind of threw the ball behind Julio. He had one to Roddy where he missed high. Why are plays like this continuing to be called if Matt Ryan's not comfortable, or if that's not where he's most suited for?
But I totally agree. And why they're being called, I can't, you know, it's one of those things where I wonder as well. And we all know what Matt's strengths are. We know what he does well. We know he can go out and he can anticipate the throw better than anybody else. But rolling to his left and, you know, getting outside the pocket, that's not his strongest suit. Mm-hmm. And it's all about calling plays that can make your players successful. And right now, I don't think the plays that are being called are all the way successful for Matt, and they're not fitting his strong suits. Yeah, you got to get outside. You got to move the pocket some. You got to bootleg. You got to do the naked boot sometimes. You got to go to your left. You can't always go to your right. I can understand that. But multiple times, like you mentioned, 3 times, that's not his strongest suit.
Right.
And even if you're doing that, don't force the routes to be so far down the field. And it's just one of those issues where I want to see Matt get into the element that makes him most successful. And we saw it a few weeks back when he got into the no huddle. Straight drop, get the ball out of his hands, bootleg here and there, or even do the slight roll. There's a lot of this offense where you can do a slight roll where it looks like bootleg and you pull up. You can still get the same effect from the linebackers and from the D-line flowing and be able to get the football out of his hands. I'm totally with you. I don't know why they continue to do that, because Matt has a different skill set. Every quarterback has a different skill set. Nobody can do every single thing that you want out of an offense. There are certain things that you do well, and that's why they script those things. And I think it's one of those things where they're going to have to sit down and say, all right, here are 15 to 20 plays that at any given time I feel most comfortable with, and that's what you got to go with.
But what's the difference in the play calling between the first 5 games and the last 5 games?
I don't think there's been any. Yeah.
Like, what have you noticed? Is there anything completely different that they're trying to force or do? Or,
well, you weren't doing as much of the booting out.
Mm-hmm.
You were moving. You were doing a slight roll. You were doing a lot of that. You were doing a lot of play action, and you're coming up and hitting the ball. The interception he threw a couple weeks ago in Indianapolis, that's the type of stuff you were doing early in the year that was working. And you got to think about it. At that time, you had Devontae going. Last couple mm-hmm. games, you haven't had that, you know, threat of Devontae coming out the backfield or the threat of him running. Yeah, Tevin rushed for over 100 yards, but he's still not the same threat as Devontae. He's a really good player. He has an exciting future ahead of him. But we got to be real. Devontae was in the top of the league before he, you know, went out with the concussion. He was top three. You know, mm-hmm. he was the rushing leader. So from the first 5 games to now, there have been some subtle changes, but I just think defenses are starting to play the Falcons' offense a little bit differently. Everybody's trying to find a way to take Julio out of the entire package. Earlier in the year, it was, okay, yeah, Julio's good, but, you know, we still got to play man. Now they're like, okay, anybody else beat us besides right. Julio?
Well, the good news is that Devontae Freeman's going to be back this week mm-hmm. for the matchup against Tampa Bay. And, guys, I don't know about you, but I say let's scrap the rest of this crap that we were going to talk about from the previous game, and let's move on to the next week.
I like it.
Well, that's good.
Nobody wants to dwell on this.
No, yeah. No. Jay, I like the way I'm you're done thinking talking today. About. You are succinct and to the point right now. There's not a lot of playing around with Jay Adams today. Falcons-Bucks, obviously, Sunday, Raymond James Stadium. Things I love about Tampa, there's a great bar that we all kind of go to the night before, which kind of loosens things up. The press box food is probably number one in the entire league.
Oh, it's like that?
Oh, they have carving stations.
Really?
And I mean, first of all, the press box is about half the size of the scoreboard at Dallas Stadium.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of room to maneuver. You don't have to wait in line, and the food is fantastic.
It's fantastic. At halftime, they do this Bananas Foster ice cream.
And guess what? You'll be on the field.
And I'll be on the field. I won't be able to have it.
So you can't even partake in it.
Mm-mm. Which is fine, but... I'll be up there pregame.
The things I don't like about that stadium is that stupid cannon, which they fire off sometimes just because you've never been on the field, Bosak. I'm here to tell you, you will jump the first time the cannon goes off.
It's legitimately. Loud. And Bosak, you know me about how frightened I am of loud noises.
Yep.
And you know what's going to happen to me. You should have a camera trained on
yes.
me. Have me mic'd up. See, you didn't give me that time. You want to know why? Because I got the headphones in. You tried clapping in my ears. If you clapped in your mic, it might have got it.
When did they set it off? Touchdowns?
Touchdown. Anytime they score.
Kickoffs, touchdowns.
Listen, they'll do a pregame test of this.
They got the big, it's the big ship out there, man. The big ship, it's crazy.
Now, the ship is cool. I know a lot of fans don't like this ship. The ship's cool.
Yeah, the ship's pretty awesome. Is this a must-win? I'll ask both of you that. Is this a must-win week 12 or week 13, game number 12 of the NFL season?
Yes, absolutely. It is absolutely, to me, a must-win game.
Super Bowl for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are now, congratulations, you're the first team to make the playoffs.
Right.
Because this is the playoffs right now.
Right.
Like, you lose a game, you got to pretty much consider yourselves close to out of the running. Now, you could get some help. Right now, you're in that situation where we described last week, where it was like, okay, we were in control of our own destiny. Now we kind of need some things to happen. We really could have used Seattle losing to Pittsburgh this over the weekend, but
suddenly Russell Wilson turned into Dan Fouts throwing football all over the place.
That's what I was thinking. Amazing. When we talk about the wild card and we talk about Green Bay and Minnesota, and they're going to be going back and forth. Who's going to take the division? Who's going to be their first wild card? Then you got Seattle, who we talked about a couple weeks ago, weren't playing well, but we said they're going to find a way to get it going. And we saw last week, like you mentioned, Russell Wilson, 5 touchdowns. They're finding a way to win at home, beating Pittsburgh, who Ben Roethlisberger threw for 490 yards or something crazy. But it matters. These games are a must right now because the teams around you are playing just as good as well, who are everybody who's 5-6. And you got to remember, Tampa Bay is right there at 8, and you're 7. So,
and they have a game advantage on you right now because they beat you. I say this, you also have to remember the NFC factor in this because you have not fared all that well, obviously, in your own division and in conference, which means you got to win these conference games now because that becomes a tiebreaker somewhere down the road.
Yeah, it does. And you've really got to start winning these games. Luckily, you've got a lot of division games here coming up, right? And I say luckily because you can do something there. You can get something done both in the division and in the conference and kind of pull off some of those tiebreakers. But you don't want some of that stuff to come back to haunt you. The loss to San Francisco, the loss to the Vikings.
In Tampa,
which is non-conference, but the conference game, but the conference games are the ones that end up being really important in the tie-breaking scenarios, and you're not in real great shape right now.
And one thing we also found out this week is the players had their players-only meeting, and as a guy who's been in one of those players-only meetings, they are what you need sometimes. Yeah. They need where you don't have any coaches in there. You don't have to worry about what you say is taken the wrong way. Your coach may be thinking, all right, this guy's thinking a certain way. We're going to bench him. He's not going to play. We're going to cut whatever it may be. You're able to really get everything out there, everything you want to say. And guys can really talk single-handedly to one guy. They can talk to each other and say, hey, man, we really want you or we need you to step up a little bit more. Hey, this is some things I saw. And that kind of stuff happens. Guys single each other out, and you say exactly how you feel, and you're able to give it back. But this is what player-only meetings are all about, because they give you a chance to air out everything that you have going on. Guys know exactly where everybody stands, and you lay it out and say, all right, we put all our dirtiness out there. We put everything how we're feeling. How do we change it? And that's where the leaders of this team really come in and say, all right, we've talked about everything. Now, what are we going to do going forward? We got a lot to play for. We got so much going on. We're not one of those teams where our season's over. We're thinking about where we're going to vacation. We have a true, true chance at really being something special and getting into the playoffs, and it starts right now. So I thought that was an awesome thing that I heard about the players only meeting on Monday.
And Dan Quinn addressed it in his Wednesday press conference too, and he said it was awesome that they planned this. It's awesome that they did it. He doesn't view it as a negative. I know there's a storyline out there that it's, well, it's a sign that, you know, the team doesn't trust Quinn, or that's complete crap again.
No.
You know, the thing is that these guys, they got together. This is what we call accountability. I know there's a lot of fans that sit out there and say, well, these guys need to be held accountable. And they're holding each other accountable by having this players-only meeting.
Right.
So they got in there. They hashed it out, just like you said. And they put it all on the table and said, how do we change this? And Dan Quinn said, I've seen a lot of teams that do this turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of teams that don't do that stuff and don't turn around, and then they, you know, you end up with a second or third or fourth one, and that's when it becomes kind of ineffective.
Right.
But you just had a players-only meeting. I'm sure there was a lot that was placed out there, including, and I think I would have to guess the biggest thing that they talked about was hold on to the darn football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, don't make those errant passes. Don't fumble it. Tuck it away. All that kind of stuff. And it's your chance to kind of do that and get everybody's mind right. I think it's easy to just kind of get into this lull of, well, you know, we're a week-to-week kind of thing. How many times do you show up and you're just kind of like going through the motions, right?
Usually, let's see, out of 7 days, at least six. I just go through the motions.
Right? But I think it's the same with some of these guys, and you got to get that wake-up call.
Another thing that goes on in these team meetings is guys really individually kind of say, hey, everybody needs to do their own job. And a lot of times in games, guys try to do more because they're trying to compensate for maybe a guy who they don't think is doing their job good enough. And I've seen that happen as well. And I've seen guys try to overcompensate for it and say, I got to do a little bit better, or, you know, I was trying to do a little bit much. There was a couple plays, not to call him out during the game, but O'Brien Schofield had one play where he kept great containment on Adrian Peterson, forced the football back, and the other guys made a play. Then there was a third and one later in the game where he tries to squeeze it so much down inside to force it inside that he allows the AP to break it outside. Small things like that you can see in a game where a guy says, okay, if he doesn't come all the way down, then we're not going to make the play, so I'm going to try to do his job and my job.
Right.
Things like that are talked about in those players-only meetings, and it gives other guys a clarification. Oh, okay, that's how you're thinking. That's how we can get better.
Last this. We got Tampa this week. Lost to them early in the season by a field goal in overtime. Wild game that they were down 20-3, came back. How do you beat Tampa Bay this week?
Well, I think, you know, Jameis Winston is the big key for him, for this team right now. I mean, he got a lot of confidence a couple of weeks ago, throwing 5 touchdown passes, maybe kind of brought back down to earth a little bit last week. But he's going to have Vincent Jackson, it looks like, this week. So that's somebody you didn't face the first time you guys played.
Big.
And, you know, so you've really got to get after him and rattle him. I think getting pressure on him is going to be important. We've seen the Falcons. I mean, I thought the Falcons did a great job of putting pressure on Teddy Bridgewater, making him move off the spot. They did that. It didn't show up in sack numbers, but that's a hard guy to bring down. Winston is, too. You've got to force him off the spot, make him a little bit uncomfortable, and I think that'll trickle down to some of the other areas.
And a little bit to add on to your point, when we talk about Vic had a couple chances where he had, you know, opportunities to put him, bring him to the ground. And, you know, I'm just bringing that up to say everybody's talked about Vic not being, you know, the pass rusher everybody wants. He hasn't been, you know, around the quarterback. This was a game where I saw him pressuring the quarterback all the time.
Yeah, Vic was
the guy getting off the football. But for me, the way I believe they beat Tampa is coming out with a sense of urgency, coming out, playing, starting fast. I mean, getting points on the board, putting the pressure on Winston, getting up a couple scores, and forcing him into a feeling of, all right, I got to keep up. I got to force a couple passes here. And that's when the turnovers come, and that's when you get back into that groove like you had early in the season. Right. Turn that turnover margin over. Right now, I think you're like -8. Yeah. Where early in the season, you were like +5.
Right.
So things like that are ways to get better. Obviously, the turnovers are big, and the penalties. We talked about the penalties. It really hampered you last couple of weeks. But coming out with that sense of urgency, starting fast, and then the number one thing that Coach Quinn has stressed since day one is finish the ball game.
And I was going to add on to that and say, you know, we've talked a lot about finish, but I think the Falcons need to start.
Yeah.
And I think they need a fast start. We haven't seen that in a little bit. Get out there, get some points on the board, and more than just 3, and really start to take advantage of opportunities.
Mike Smith always took the ball first. That was Smitty's MO. Yeah. Dan Quinn always defers to the second half. Do you see any change maybe if the Falcons win the toss this week that he goes, you know what, I go against the grain. I want Matt on the field. I want to go down and be up 7-0.
I don't know. I mean, you might do that. I prefer to defer as well. You get the chance to maybe get that score.
Get a 2-for-1
before, yeah, a little 2-for-1 action.
People pay good money for that.
I know what he said.
I knew we were going there.
Congratulations! I saw boys. You look down.
Congrats, guys. The penalty test has gone blue. I'm off track.
Start fast. That's all we want.
No, I like the deferred part as well. Usually, you think about his team somehow, way or another. The Falcons always usually end up with the ball before halftime, somewhere or another. Coach Quinn does a good job with using his timeouts and, you know, finding ways to get the football back to the offense. So you gotta find a way to get the 2-on-1 before after halftime.
You know, there was the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I'm the 40-year-old teenager.
You are.
I just can't let anything pass.
You are. And DJ and I are just as immature as you. We're actually trying to hold it together.
Well, Falcons have to win at 1:00. They've here for me. I'll say it pretty simply. You just got to go back to being yourself. Mm-hmm. You lost to this team earlier this year and had 500 yards of offense. You get 500 yards of offense this week, you're going to score more than 20 points.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think about the plays, the special play that Quan Alexander makes against Julio, tracking him from down from behind and snatching the ball. Isn't that the game that James Stone rolled the ball back there? Mm-hmm. Devontae, I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong against Tampa.
Yeah, I think you had 4 turnovers in that game and still had a chance to win.
You're better than this team. Just be yourself.
And that's what I think is just relax. Mm-hmm. Just relax a little bit. You know, there's a lot of pressure on this team. They're certainly putting a lot of pressure on themselves. Certainly a lot of pressure from the outside as well. But just relax. Just get back to having fun and you know, try to remember what that's about and maybe things will kind of fall.
Well, one of the fun parts of this show is where we break with Bosek. He always comes up with some really cool questions. The cannon's going to scare you as well, and I can't wait to see your reaction. Because they just set it off at times. It's not supposed to go off.
It's not supposed to go off.
And here it is.
Bosek going to be running around the sidelines, mic check, and boom!
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you now, pay attention to the weather report because you're now in Florida. It can go from 90 to pouring rain literally in a blink of an eye.
It is supposed to rain.
It's shocking. It's supposed to rain in Florida.
Either it will or it won't. That's where we're at.
Well, my 50%. Raincoat unfortunately fell apart in San Francisco.
Oh,
I bought a brand new raincoat. Yeah, Jay will tell you.
Brand new and it fell apart.
Amazing. What?
No, what happened? He said brand new and it fell apart.
He bought a brand new raincoat. How much did that thing run you?
It's like $30.
Unbelievable that you paid more than $2. It couldn't have been built out of anything stronger than a hefty bag.
Oh, no.
And he wasn't even doing anything. No, he's just standing there letting the rain hit him. And suddenly there's this big tear in the front of him. And then the pocket starts falling off. And as I keep seeing him, the pocket's falling off further and further and further. At some point, the pocket is now on the ground. And the pocket no longer exists, and I think you just threw it away.
I left it on the field.
It was the worst.
Did you play or something? Did you get in the game? Because obviously, you played with that.
No. Jay will tell you, I literally put the box, like the little IFB box that we have. Yeah. I had that in my pocket, and then the next thing I knew, it was on the ground. What the heck happened? The pocket was just off.
Yeah, it was gone.
And it wasn't like it was too tight for me. It's not like I got a size too small and I was ripping through it because I was overweight.
It fit you well.
It fit me well, man.
It's also but fit it was, the field well. You also got, I think,
you wouldn't get your money back.
Next time, don't get a biodegradable one.
Yeah. That's what it is. Well, we'll break with Bosek.
Hey, Bo.
Hey.
How's howdy. It going?
So I'm
going
to dive right into it.
Okay.
I want to ask you guys, would you jump into a hot tub filled with dry ice?
No.
For $20?
No. Do you know how dangerous that is?
Yeah.
With dry ice?
You know how bad that'll burn you?
Do you know how dangerous this is?
Well, this kid gets challenged for $20. This
is $20.
This is
dumb. We skip Bosek and we're going right to the video.
We're going back to Bosek.
Bo is really excited about this video here. So
this is for $20.
For those of you on the podcast, we are looking at a video of a hot tub full of dry ice. He jumps in. Because he's really stupid.
All right. He threw out his cell phone. He forgot he had his cell phone.
Dummy.
There's a pool to the left. He fell in the pool.
He threw the phone into the pool?
Yeah.
Great. He's trying
to get that's done. The pool. Let that go, buddy.
Well, I can tell you now, AT&T is not giving you a refund on that phone.
No. Dummy. Neither is the official sponsor of the Falcons, Verizon.
No.
First off, I couldn't believe he jumped into a hot tub in dry ice.
Right.
Secondly, He tries to throw the phone out.
But when you think about this and you're about to get in, everybody checks their pockets, make sure you don't have your phone. This guy jumps in with the phone first and then scoots it over to the pool.
Mm-hmm. Not scoots it, he throws it.
Yeah.
Here's my question for everybody. Is at what age was the last stupid bet that you took? Or are you still taking
some? No, I don't.
I still take some, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't even tell you the last time I've done a dumb bet. Not anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't like my body to be harmed. I do enough harm to myself.
It is a temple, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess the dumbest bets I have is just wearing like other paraphernalia, other schools and stuff like that. I mean,
I never did the destructive bets.
I lost a bet earlier to Kelsey.
Oh yeah,
that's right. I had to change the Twitter avatar.
But that's not jumping in a.
But that still hurts you though.
Puddle of dry ice. Bo, what about you? You got anything?
I can't think of anything. Nothing comes to mind. Okay. I was a good kid.
Yeah. Of course you were. I was a good kid.
Of course you were.
Same here, Jerry and Carol.
I was not, but that doesn't surprise me.
I bet you've taken some.
No, I haven't. I don't do much like that. A lot of them were stupid.
You know what? I had one when I was a kid. It wasn't a stupid bet, but it was a stupid idea. I had a buddy. I'm standing there, and he put a can on top of my head. He said, "I bet I can hit this can off your head with a bat." Dude swung. And you guys can see the scar right here in the middle of my head. He hit me right in my head. And
you're kidding.
Were you out?
It was dumb. It was dumb. Oh yeah.
It was
stupid.
But do you remember when like Jackass was at its height
and everybody tried to do that stuff?
It was like, oh, don't do this at home, but everybody did. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing is like these kids now with the Vine do it for the Vine. They say,
oh yeah,
do it
for
the Snapchat. And you end up doing stupid things.
I love the
not us though.
You go on YouTube and look up the exercise ball fails where people are using the those are awesome.
Yeah,
use an exercise ball for everything. What else we got, Bosek?
Or Bosek, we make a bet with the guys in the gym. They have to use the little leg machines right there.
That can be
a little weird.
No man should ever do that.
No, and I see it all the time.
Got to work on your groin, man.
No, you don't. Not that way.
All right, here's my question this week.
All right.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you while you've been driving on the road, and how did you overcome it? The reason I asked this, the other day going home from work, nailed a pothole.
Oh.
And it, like, bent my steel rim. Mm-hmm. So it was letting air out between the metal and the tire.
That's pretty good. You don't get very far with that, do you?
No, I got to, like, 15 PSI, so I made it home.
Nice.
Took it to the shop. They hammered it in.
If that's the worst thing that happens to you while driving, you're lucky. That's really good. I've been in a couple of accidents.
I moved to Atlanta in 1998. I have been here give or take a month. So I'm trying to find jobs. So I'm going on interviews. I'm on 285 on the east side, south of Memorial Drive. And, there's some spots where you'll come around and then all of a sudden it's just dead stop traffic. So I'm doing like 70. And all of a sudden it's dead stop traffic. So I'm car behind me comes sliding in behind. Well, the lady behind them wasn't paying attention. And at 70 miles an hour, hit a car behind me, which hit me. I hit a truck in front of me, which wedged that truck up underneath a tractor trailer.
Oh.
It took me literally a year to not drive looking in the rearview mirror every 30 seconds. I was petrified.
Every time you stop.
Yeah, oh, right. I was petrified.
And you were also probably full body cast after that for you.
No. The difference was I was 140 some odd pounds then, so my body, I didn't get hurt at all.
Okay, good. That's good. That's good. That's.
I need that to happen again because I lost like 12 pounds.
Jay just
pounds
knew something happened, right? Just knew he injured something.
That was pre-injuries.
Yeah. I had one where I was leaving football practice at in high school and driving to go pick up my girlfriend at the time, go get something to eat, come up to this intersection, kid completely goes through a stop sign. I hit him going about 45. Ooh. T-boned him. I T-bone him. His car goes spinning. Mine goes off to the right, and then I hit a telephone pole head on. The airbag, actually, the only injury I had was the airbag broke my wrist.
Ooh.
So when it goes off, if you've ever been in a car when it goes off, I mean, it's like, boom. It hurts. And so next thing I know, I'm like sitting there and there's like smoke in the car and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to get out. I thought the car was on fire.
It's just the airbag, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I was in a little bit of shock. And so I started to, I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself right now. So I started to go into the road and pick up the parts of my car and put it back.
No
pick
way.
Pick up the bumper. I was in shock.
He was doing that?
I was just like picking up parts of the headlights and everything like that because I thought we could put it back together. Of course, it was my parents' brand new car. They had it for 2 months.
No.
And it was completely totaled. And I felt so awful for them. But, yeah, come to find out, the kid that ran the stop sign was a little high on the...
The little wacky tobacco.
Wacky tobacco.
Yeah.
And so that
parents
was,
got over it.
Dang.
Uh-huh.
How long did it take the parents to get over?
I
know they were happy you were okay,
it was,
but...
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty okay after that. I had another situation where a deer ran out in front of me, and it was like this 8-point buck, right?
Big boy.
Almost put its head, I think it was about an inch from putting its head through the driver's side window, and would have completely destroyed me.
Yeah.
So that, oh, but man, that's terrible. Luckily. So... Thanks for bringing up all those memories.
Yeah.
Shock you?
Man, you know, I've had my usual roll rage stuff with people.
You
I remember,
raging or them raging
no,
at you?
No, them raging at me, man.
Oh, come on. You look like you could be a bit of a road rager.
Yeah, I can sometimes. I get mad at people, man. Just
me too.
When people friggin' people in the fast lane going 50 miles an hour, that drives me crazy. But
let's
one
just
time,
say the Falcon's not my favorite kind of bird. You know what I'm saying?
Let's just one time I'm going back to Athens. This is in college. I'm going back to Athens riding, and police pulled me over. Tense black. I guess I was speeding, so he gets my license. He goes back, then he comes back and he says, "I'm thinking I'm finna get a ticket. I'm in trouble. All this kind of stuff." He says, "Listen, as long as you guys beat Alabama, I'm not gonna give you a ticket." But he took my address and everything. He said, "If you don't win against Alabama, I'm going to come find you."
You beat Alabama?
We beat Alabama. I never heard from him again. So I was so thankful. That's the craziest thing I got besides road rage. But okay. I thought that was
unbelievable.
Before, I was scared.
Before we get the picks to
it
click,
was frightening to me.
All I want from you, Shock, is one of two things. Kirby Smart, your new coach.
You
thumbs
want
up,
Coach Rick?
Thumbs up or thumbs down for Kirby Smart?
There it from is,
DJ
Shock.
That is a thumbs
all
up.
I'm say.
All right, we'll move on to picks to click if we have to. Bosek picks up a win. Finally, Desmond Trufant comes through.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You can talk about me, but what about you?
Miami?
We both have vacancies.
We don't. No, you don't have a vacancy
right,
anymore.
Right, I'm saying.
We still do. When we hire a coach, you can ask me that.
If Coach Mark Rick is a part, he is a part of the. Oh, John Mike. Yeah, I saw that. Okay.
I want something different. It's just me.
Syracuse hired a coach not too long.
Did they?
Not too long.
They did. Yeah, I saw that. What's that guy's name? I don't even know.
Jim Boeheim? No? Wrong sport? Okay.
All right, Bosek, you can have your fun now.
Picks the click last week. You had Schofield, Shock, three tackles, two quarterback hits. Jay had Justin Duran. He got hurt, but he had two tackles and a solo. Bosek, your winner with Desmond Trufant. And I have now convinced myself I am the biggest jinx in the history of mankind. I picked Matt Bryant last week who ended up hurt. If you saw on Twitter, actually, I don't even think I tweeted this. We may have tweeted it. I took Brooks Reed. I might as well have taken Brooks from Shawshank Redemption. They both had the same impact on the game. I'm going to go last. I don't
Brooks
care who you guys pick.
Mel Brooks.
I could have picked Mel Brooks, exactly. Could have took Rich Brooks, the old Oregon coach.
So here's what we've decided. Is
Aaron Brooks.
John has, since John is such a curse, he has to choose a player from the other team.
And that's what I'm going to do this week.
This is what we're going to do. Is John's going to choose a player from the other team that he thinks is going to click. Yeah. Now, same rules apply. You can't take Jameis.
And no Mike Evans, maybe?
No Mike Evans. No
Doug Martin.
Doug
either.
Martin. You got to take somebody else.
Okay. So I'll go first then. Since I get to do that, this guy always has about 75 tackles against us. So I'm going to take Lavonte David.
Yes.
Lavonte David is my pick.
There we go.
All right.
This is how we get you.
This is how we jinx the other team.
That's, he's going to miss all those tackles.
Lavonte David.
Who's next?
Go ahead, Jay.
Me?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy. Field is wide open. All right. Well, I am going to go with
a lot of thought.
The curiosity builds.
I don't know. Roddy White. I'm going to go with Roddy White.
A4.
Do it for me this week.
Roddy
don't care about that, doing anything for me. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with my man Babs, man. I think Babs, they're going to run the football. He's going to have a lot of tackles. He's going to have some pressure on him. So I like
You two going old school.
Yeah.
Babs and Roddy.
Yo.
Young Buck, who do you got?
Going to lead now, right?
Man.
Trying to put a run together.
Oof.
He finally won with True Fun, so he probably don't care who's going.
It only took him 13 games.
Right.
It was like six games.
Yeah, like 0 for 6 on turkey bowling, but go ahead, yeah. My bad. Sorry.
Hey, I got a strike, though. I got a strike after six tries. All right, I'm going to go with Paul Warlow.
Okay.
All right.
The nice conservative pick.
So we go Paul Warlow.
We got to ban Paul Warlow in a minute. Warlow going to have 10 tackles regardless.
We go Roddy and Lavonte David. And for those of you that have been watching all year,
pick ever.
You understand why. We'll see you next week at 7-5.
Holla. Are we shooting a three?